You're listening to EFT Radio Online, where we explore meridian tapping techniques for self-help and peak performance. By listening to this audio, you agree to the disclaimer located at eftradioonline.com/disclaimer. If you'd like to get the schedule of all the upcoming EFT radio shows and access to archive shows, please visit us at eftradioonline.com, where you can subscribe to our free newsletter.
Do you want to move from burned out to fired up? Welcome to Leave the Job You Hate for the Work You Love with Marty Murphy. Marty is a career coach, certified EFT practitioner, and former corporate captive who helps business professionals overcome the fears that keep them stuck in the job they hate.
Welcome, everyone. I am your host, Marty Murphy, and I am thrilled to be here with you today and to bring you yet another special guest. But before I introduce you to her, my intention for this radio show is to give you helpful information to assist you along your journey to taking your own big leap into the meaningful work you love, to move you from burned out to fired up. One thing that can certainly burn you out is agonizing over debt and allowing debt to fill you with fear. And with this fear in place, the chances of you being able to move successfully into the work you love are much more limited. And being able to establish the difference between good debt and bad debt. With this in mind, I am pleased to have my colleague and my friend, Heidi Garris, on the show with me today. Heidi is a success and abundance coach who works with spiritually oriented women who are sick of being stuck, tired of worrying about money, and who wish they could be free inside and out. Specializing in creating money and abundance, Heidi helps her clients discover exactly what is holding them back and guides them through clearing and releasing the fears, limiting beliefs, and past painful experiences that have kept them spinning their wheels for too long. Her clients go on to create fulfilling, free, and financially abundant lives that flow. An experienced psychotherapist, Heidi holds a master's degree in clinical social work and is an acknowledged expert in energy work, EFT, and meridian tapping. She works with clients individually and in groups, teaches teleclasses, workshops, and is in demand as a local speaker. I have had the great fortune of working with Heidi personally, and she is highly intuitive, compassionate, and has a warmth that allows you to feel really safe when you're working with her. She cares deeply about her clients, which adds so much to the effectiveness of her success. So without further ado, welcome Heidi.
Thank you, Marty. It's so awesome to be here on your show.
I am so glad to have you. So thanks for joining me on this. And to start out, I would love for you to share your story and what got you into this work.
Yeah, I'll tell you a little bit about that. Well, I have to say I've always felt called to and really passionate about helping people. And people have pretty much kind of always gravitated to me in search of help, too. I used to mention I've been trained as a psychotherapist, and I loved that work. And then after spending a decade living and working in Japan in a completely unrelated field, I felt drawn to holistic healing for physical issues. So came back from Japan, and I went to massage therapy school, and I used that as a springboard and jumped into hands-on healing work. And, of course, along the way, the universe was guiding me, and I found energy work, and shortly after energy work, EFT. And I have to tell you, I'll never, ever forget the day when I found it because, Marty, everything just clicked. And it was like, oh, my gosh, this is what I'm meant to do because everything, right, everything that I had been trained for and all of my experiences up until that point, it all just came together, and it was like the perfect fit. So I started using it in my bodywork practice and had amazing results, like the physical healings. And it wasn't just physical, of course. It was holistic healing that happened. Were just fabulous. And then over time, things just naturally morphed on over to the bulk of my work being tapping and energy work. And then things morphed even further because I was using tapping for my own abundance issues, my Achilles heel, and because it worked so well, it was just natural to glide into that, into helping others. And because it's worked so well for me, I was compelled. I couldn't stop myself. It's one of those things. You're compelled. You're passionate, and you just have to help other people in the same way that you've been helped. So I couldn't keep it a secret.
Oh, and I love that, and that speaks so truly. I mean, who better to help someone than who's been there, done that, and knows the ins and outs of that? So that is so awesome. So why did you want to talk about debt today?
Debt. Yeah, debt is something we don't hear a whole lot about in our field, and yet it's really a huge issue. It's prevalent. I think most of the women that I work with have debt, and it weighs heavily on them. So I think that light needs to be shined on it. And you'll hear some of the coaches, some of the gurus out there touch on it, but so much of the talk is around how to make money and how to create more of that in your life rather than kind of balancing it out with releasing the debt. So I don't think it's an easy thing to talk about, and there's a lot of shame and pain that goes along with it. It's not comfortable, but it holds us back so significantly. I know for me it has. And in my abundance journey, it was one of the last things I was willing to look at. Not that I'm done my journey by any means, still definitely on the path, but this is one of the things that more recently I've finally been willing to look at. And so when I got to that place where I was able to not just peek at debt, the debt that I had, but to actually look at it in the eye, things began to shift in a whole new way. So I have to say that I had come to that point, you know, working on my abundance issues, I come to the point where I was really able to heal the things that kept me from creating a healthy income. So I was making good money, but the debt was still hanging around. And I think it was because I was turning a blind eye to it. Not that I wasn't paying my bills, but I just wasn't willing to really look at it. So I believe that you're not able to change what you're not able to look at. So even though it's not pretty, it's not the sexiest thing to talk about, and it's uncomfortable, it's really a vital piece to clear if you are interested in creating lasting and true abundance. So that's why I want to talk about that.
Oh, I so appreciate that, Heidi, because I so agree with you. It's the – and I love your terminology. You're peeking at it. Because I know for myself, I'd done that for so many years. Oh, peek at her. I'd feel this anxiety and stress. And that idea of we can't change what we don't look at directly. And there's something, I think, sort of energetically magical that happens when you're willing to face those things that seem so forbidden. So thank you so much for sharing that. And then would you share with us your own story about debt?
Do I have to? No, I'm kidding. but like that's what I mean.
Peek at it.
I'm like, really? Do I
have to? Peek at it.
But it is. It's hard to look at. It's hard to talk about. But when we can look at it, when we can talk about it, and then when we can take action about it, things can shift.
Absolutely.
So yeah. So my story is about debt. I'm going to kind of go through it like a brief timeline of how it was for me and how it is, and that will also give you kind of insight as to how the energy of debt and then actual debt can be created for someone. So we'll start kind of childhood, not birth, but childhood. I grew up in a frugal household. Love my family dearly, love them dearly, but my mom was extremely frugal, and you know, everything we bought had to either be on sale or the clearance rack. I'm not saying it's not good to spend money wisely. Of course it is. And my mother was amazing. She could feed a family of four with one can of tuna. I mean,
wow.
I don't know about you, but I eat one can of tuna myself these days. So.
Me too.
But I think that frugal household, and there's other things that play into it too, but played into a sense of deprivation for me.
Sure.
Right? We very cautious with money, very frugal, and I heard we can't afford that. We don't have the money for that quite often. So when I kind of grew up and got some freedom, and I was in college, and I got my first credit card, it was like, woohoo, here we go. and I spent. But, you know, fortunately, you know, as a college student with not a whole lot of credit experience, my limit was lower. So it was in control to that extent. I didn't get wildly out of control with it just because I couldn't. So gratefully, that was in place. And yet I was living beyond my means, definitely,
mm-hmm.
definitely, because, you know, I didn't want to be frugal. I wanted what I wanted, and I went out and I spent it and I got it.
Sure.
So then I had the opportunity after grad school to move to Japan and work there. So I did that. I was there for a decade, for 10 years. And the interesting thing, especially when I first moved there, Japan kind of helped me with my credit cards, because back then they were still in the dark ages when it came to cards. Every time I would go into a store and I would want to pay even $20 or $30, put it on my card, I could just see the anxiety in the cashier's face. She would just get red, because they weren't used to credit cards. They had them, but it wasn't a common thing. So typically to Japanese culture, she would call a cashier near to her, and they would gather, and they would have a little meeting, and then somebody would call one manager, and then they would have, and then somebody would call another manager, and soon, like, this group of managers on the floor is having a discussion about whether or not this foreigner can use her visa in the department store.
It's amazing.
So it created I could use it, but it created such issues that there was such resistance to me doing it that I learned to live in cash.
Mm.
I learned to live in cash in Japan, and that was great. So for 10 years, that's how I lived, and I paid off my college loans, and I felt pretty good about my financial life, at least on the surface, for the most part. But I did have some traumas in Japan with money, and one of the most significant ones was that the company I was working for, they folded. And, you know, it wasn't overnight, so that there was delays in pay, and it kind of had built up. So by the time they folded, they owed me over $10,000. And that was that was something I lost and I felt deprived of. You know, this money that I'd worked hard for, and I had worked hard to help them recover the business they had lost. And but no. So they deprived me of what they owed me. And I carried the energy of that with me for quite a while. So then when I returned to the States, I had major culture shock. I had been gone for 10 years. I had this, well, it was a good thing. I had this brand new, hot, young Brazilian husband with me.
That you still have.
Yeah, good things, yeah.
Yeah.
But there were struggles there, too, because he didn't speak English. He didn't have an education that he could use here. So our financial start was really rocky. And it was rough. And then, on top of that, the money that he and we had saved, which he had sent home to Brazil for us for our future to buy a house when we moved to the States, his family kind of took over that money. So there was another deprivation, you know, something that we had earned and was ours but was taken away. So I was triggered all over the place, just literally
sure.
this feeling of deprivation and I can't have. And so I was lost and I was frustrated with my financial life. So I did find my way, though, into the healing arts, which was a passion that I think I'd mentioned that I kind of grew when I was in Japan. And so I went through school and yet I was still carrying around that deprivation and that entitlement. So the money I made, I would spend. You know, I had good credit now. I'd been in Japan for so long, and I paid off my college loan. I had great credit. And spending made me feel really good. It made me feel good in the moment, right? So that's
right.
My debt started to rack up. And then another life, or the universe intervened, a life event occurred. I got pregnant. And that sent me into enough panic that it motivated me to rein myself in, to stop the overspending, and to pay it down. But, you know, I didn't ever address the root of the issue of the overspending.
Right.
I hadn't done that yet. So it worked for the moment, but the underlying issues weren't addressed. And the real, so we'll go back to birth now. I said timeline, but we're jumping back in time. The real root of all of that deprivation, and I don't want people to think that I'm placing blame, but this is just kind of where it was generated for me. It was created with my birth mother. She'd given me up at birth. She abandoned me. And so as an infant, all those issues were churning away inside, right? You're not worth it. And I was deprived of that motherly love and that acceptance. So it created an undercurrent of all these unfulfilled needs and undeserving issues and non-worthiness, and there's something wrong with you. And so that's where all these other issues sprung from, right? Where the need to spend actually was born. So to make a short story even longer, I found the FT, and I went to work on my abundance issues. I was so motivated, and I healed enough of those things. I did a lot on my own, and I worked with people. I worked with Carol Look, and I really worked on all of my abundance issues. And I got to the point where there was a tipping point, you know, and I was starting to be able to make a really nice income. Right, so that was great, and I'd healed enough of those underlying issues that my spending really wasn't about fulfilling those needs anymore.
Right,
but then I'm building a new practice and a business. Right, so in order to build successful practice, sometimes you need to invest in it, and I did. I spent tens, and you can probably attest to this too yourself, Marty, tens mm-hmm. of thousands of dollars. Good business coaching doesn't come cheap. And,
right.
And, you know, all of the investments for your business. So tens of thousands. And that money, really, most of it was not in my pocket at the time. I had to put money on credit lines and credit cards for that. But, you know, I valued myself enough by that time to see that those things were worthy investments and the potential for return was amazing. So all that to say, in terms of where I am now, I still do have some pretty big debt out there that was created for the business, but it's debt that is serving to move me forward rather than to fulfill this bottomless pit of neediness. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. I think that so speaks to the idea, because I don't know how many people get that concept. There is good debt and there's bad debt. And
yeah.
Good debt is that thing, like you're talking about, you had an ROI on it, a return on that investment.
Mm-hmm.
And then the bad debt is more what I think you're speaking to. It's when we're trying to fill a hole in us. And I think so many debt programs do not deal with exactly what you're talking about, that underlying
yeah.
issue. And most people would probably look like a deer in headlights. What are you talking about? Something happened in my childhood, and that's
yeah.
why I'm in debt. And that's what you seek to really help people uncover. So I so appreciate your story. So,
thank you.
And again,
yeah.
spoke to the difference between the good and bad debt. So,
yeah, and I can even say more on that too if you want. But
sure, go ahead, please.
There's definitely, absolutely, good and bad debt. So, and I think a good thing to point out here too is no matter what the money's been spent on, whether you're calling it good debt or bad debt, you know, it's important not to have this beat up yourself fest going on inside of you, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
because that's not productive at all.
Right.
So, and it's important, I think, with that, to come out of judgment. Just come out of judgment around debt, period. Because if we label something as bad and we're doing that thing that we label as bad, or we have that thing that we label as bad, we tend to feel guilty. We want to punish ourselves. Been there.
Very good point. Good and bad, right?
Right. So sometimes I like to call, instead of good debt, bad debt, supportive and unsupportive debt.
Oh,
right?
I like it much
yeah.
better. Much
I mean,
better.
You know, the energy around it. Words are words, but just for the purpose of this talk, supportive and unsupportive.
Yeah.
So right. So bad or unsupportive debt, I would term It's the owing that we create by buying things we really don't need, right? The Coach handbag,
right.
The jewelry, the luxury trips, the shopping sprees, the pile of Wen shampoo up in the corner that comes up in the bathroom that comes on our delivery.
I have that.
How can you help? I mean, it's great. It's a great hair care product.
We're giving a plug. She has Jean here.
So that's what I would term like unsupportive or bad debt.
I love that reframe. That's so
okay,
great.
Okay, cool. Yeah,
yep.
And the supportive debt is when you do have an opportunity for a return on investment, right? It is an investment, a home or education
mm-hmm.
or coaching that will help to propel you forward into more expansion or possibility for your life. So, So just because you have debt, don't immediately condemn yourself. Don't create guilt. And release all of that because that judgment of yourself is going to be one of the things that keeps you stuck in the debt. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I really like that, and I love that reframe too. And I think you hit the nail on the head. It's really about acceptance because that's not often what we're taught. Even though you got the debt,
yep.
and if it's unsupportive debt, as best we can, and that's what your work helps people to do, is take the judgment out of it because you can't change the very thing you're sitting around judging yourself about.
Absolutely. No, the judgment locks it in place.
Right, right.
Right.
Exactly. So, and we're on the lines of debt, so, and you really spoke to this, like debt and how we end up there. What I heard you say, and correct this for me if this is off, is, you know,
mm-hmm.
it's when we're trying to fill something up in us, and we're going on, I used to call it retail therapy.
Yes.
I'm going to do retail therapy with my credit card. That's more the thing that it's unsupportive to us. In the moment, it feels great.
Yeah.
And then there's the buyer's remorse afterwards.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. It makes you feel good in the moment, but it's followed by that guilt and that shame, fear, anxiety.
Right.
But, you know, look at it, too, like in terms of what debt really is. So debt comes from the overspending, right? And overspending
right.
Is a way of self-soothing
mm-hmm.
and of taking care of needs, right? So we feel crappy about something, you know, our relationship with our husband is off the rails or, you know, the dog pooped on the carpet or something happened.
Right.
So we want to feel good. And so we go out or we go online and we click and spend and pay. And in the moment, it feels great. Even if the money's not in the bank, we do it. And here's another thing, too. Sometimes we do it because, darn it, we work hard and we deserve it and nobody else is giving it to us.
Mm.
So you know, can you tell I'm speaking from experience too?
Yes. And
so,
you're really speaking to taking the judgment out of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm glad that you see that because
absolutely.
There is a reason that we do everything. There is a reason, and usually it comes from either self-protection or trying to fulfill a need that's not being met.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and what's bad about the intention of that? There's nothing wrong with that. We do need to have our needs fulfilled. But when it comes from a place that's not supportive, you know, it tends to drag us down and be self-destructive. So,
right.
So debt does something for us, or the spending that causes a debt does something for us. It's a solution. It's an oddly brilliant way that our minds have kind of come up with to meet our needs at the time. So, yeah. It's a strategy.
No, that's great. I love that you put it that way. Yeah, exactly. And like you're saying, then having debt that ultimately it's like it feels good in the moment, it's unsupportive, you know, the weight that carries on us. And then, but just to be reminded that, you know, we came to it from a soothing place and start
yeah.
releasing the judgment around it.
Right.
So I
Absolutely.
Love that. Love
yeah,
it.
Yeah. And so when I work with my clients, I always try to have them go into gratitude, which may sound counterintuitive, but go into gratitude to your mind for trying and coming up with a solution to help you have your needs fulfilled. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
and to pass through that, you know, ultimately
yes.
this form isn't the best and supportive way. This solution is not the best and supportive way for us. But the intention of the mind was to really help you. So, and once we honor the old strategy and we thank the mind for it, there's something that loosens inside. It loosens its grip on that old strategy, and then from that place, you're able to more easily shift and create a new strategy to fulfill your needs. Right.
Oh, that's so beautifully put. And I mean, hopefully to our listeners too, that really resonates. And that, and also I think it's not what we're taught. We're so often taught like to beat ourselves up and, oh my God, you know, all the stuff around debt, there's so much negativity around it.
Yeah.
And like you said, it's like, and to go to this place of gratitude, I can imagine just somebody sitting and going, wait, you mean I can actually find the gratitude in this? What a relief.
Yeah. And gratitude also in that, so it fulfilled a need, but it also felt good in the moment. So, and for the good debt, like what did you get out of the debt? You got education, you got coaching, you, right? So.
Right.
So you want to be in gratitude.
Oh, I love it. I love it. It's just such a great way to start to see it differently.
Yeah. So that's what it does
really,
for us, right? That's what
yes.
it does for us.
Yeah. So what does, like, carrying the debt on the opposite side when we're not in that place of gratitude and we're in that sort of self-throttling about it, how does that work in someone? What does it do?
Yeah. So it definitely does something to us, right?
Right.
Not for us, but also to us.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many aspects to this, too. Energetic, emotional, spiritual, practically, it affects us in all ways. So let's count them down. I think we've touched
Sounds
on some
great.
Of them. But yeah, no, so I'll just run through what pops into my head. I think it drags us down into shame, to guilt, into worry, into overwhelm. How about hopelessness? That's a good one, right? When you have so much debt, hopelessness. You mentioned fear before. Absolutely, fear and panic, you know. We've talked about the self-judgment. And the thing about self-judgment turns into self-punishment, right?
Yeah.
And then it can become it can become this crazy cycle, right? So you spend money because you want to feel good. You spend the money, you overspend, and then you judge yourself because you're feeling guilty and you're feeling bad. And then you're feeling bad, so you want to feel better. And so you spend. And it's
right.
kind of like this cyclical thing that you go around and around and around. It's really hard to get yourself out of. So
mm-hmm.
you pull yourself out of the self-judgment, and that whole paradigm just kind of falls apart in a good way, right?
Yeah. Oh, I love that. Love it, love it.
Yeah. So what else? It does to us? It keeps us stuck financially, obviously. Money is energy. So vibrationally, if you have debt and you feel badly about it, if you're living with that underlying low vibration of shame and guilt, it's hard to release it. And it's harder not to build it back up if you do pay it off, right? And
oh,
it's
right.
hard to increase your income and just improve your financial situation overall. So everything is inside out. I mean, that's how I work, and I know that's how you work too. Everything is inside out. What's going on inside of you is what's going to be reflected in your outer reality. So you got to shift the inside before the outside is going to shift and change, right?
I love it. Love it. So
all right,
great.
So and one more thing that it does to us.
Yes,
so
please.
I'm going to go into the woo just a tiny bit here because you know me, Marty. I'm a little woo-woo.
Me too.
Yay, woo-woo works. We love woo. I think that carrying the debt and the energy, the badness, the judgment around that, it keeps us from remembering who we really are. Right?
Mm.
We begin to identify ourselves with the debt instead of these amazing beings who truly are. We are a reflection of Source. We are a reflection of the divine. And in that, we have unlimited potential, Marty. You know this. I get excited when I talk about this.
Yeah.
We really, truly have a divine nature. And because of that, we have access to all this unlimited potential and abundance. We're the creators, and we have a natural ability to choose to make our lives exactly as we wish. It's built in. It's part of our DNA and who we are. But that debt, that self-judgment, it can cover all of that up. We forget. So, and when we forget that, then we don't create. We don't create what we want. We just get stuck in that cycle of doom and gloom and think we're unworthy, so we create proof to that effect.
When it speaks to something, Heidi, what you're saying to me is I so resonate with that as well, I think often we have this idea like we have to pull some new information into us instead of what you're talking about, it's already there.
It's
already in us. As we remove the stuff that's layered over it, we remember that.
Yeah. Yep. Ooh, I like how you put that. That's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, we've just never been without it. Now we're just clearing out the pathway, and it's like, oh, like you said, we're remembering who we are.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yay!
Yeah, it's great. So how do we get out of debt?
Yeah, how do we get out of debt? So we briefly talked about this, right? So a lot of inner issues that we need to kind of address. And obviously energy work, EFT, one of the best ways to do it. And if we don't do this, if we don't do the internal work first, the outside, the practical solutions, they're not going to be successful. They won't work long term, and you know you're going to meet up with resistance anyway to it. So do the inside work first. So
yeah,
release
right.
the judgments and the stories and the beliefs, the hopelessness. You know, manage the fear. We have this amazing tool with tapping. Manage the fear and the anxiety and the overwhelm. Yeah, so I think that, let's see, I think that we tend to make our debt vital to us, too.
Interesting.
Right? Does that kind of make any sense? I know
mm-hmm.
I made debt vital to me.
Yeah, it's part of our story.
Right. It almost becomes your identity.
Yeah.
Right? And having debt and being in debt kind of becomes who we are, and it's our role
right.
in this life. So what's weird for me, and this is kind of a recent aha I had, is I made debt vital to me by taking on the responsibility of my debt, which sounds weird, right? But I carry it like a badge of honor, right?
Right, sure.
Okay, I got myself into this, so I'm going to get myself out. It's my responsibility. And that sounds good, right? And I'm not saying don't pay off your debt, skip out on your loans. I'm not saying that. But the way that I did this, I took responsibility in such a way that I claimed the debt as my own, right? I made it mine. I owned it energetically. And because I created it, it was mine, I wasn't letting it go. You know, I had seen other people. Okay, they claimed bankruptcy. They dodged their loans. They got out of things. I wasn't going to do that. I was responsible.
Of course.
But something energetic kind of locked in place then. And my balances were going down, but painfully slow and not in relation to my income. So I think that's what I did. I made the debt vital for me because I needed to have some kind of proof that I was responsible.
That makes a ton of sense because there's I still hear in that some judgment about it. See, I got myself into it. I'll get myself out of it, just like you're saying. There's no ease about that.
No, not at all. And I owned it, you know, and I think I made a vow I'm not going to be that person who's not responsible. So maybe I'll ask you to tap with me on that later. Because the vow piece is something I haven't addressed yet. So I'm still in the process of this, but things are shifting, things are moving, and it's exciting to have all this clarity around, you know, making debt vital. So everyone who has debt probably has made it vital to them in some way, and that's what I did. So make your debt non-vital. Feel into why it's there for you and why it's necessary. And then, you know, tap on those things.
Yeah, what an amazing reframe on it. Because I think what you're speaking to is what most of us do. It's like, I'll handle this. One of two extremes. Either, I'm going to declare bankruptcy or I'll take care of all of it. It's all on me. And there's all this place in between that we could land.
Right.
And that's what I hear you really speaking to.
Yeah. So how do we get out of debt? Another way that we could do it in terms of kind of inner work that I haven't touched on yet is the significance that we give to debt. Right? It's kind of like making it vital, but it's a little bit different. But we make debt significant. We give it weight. We give it meaning. It's this big, heavy thing, and we create that significance. We create that meaning. In reality, debt is neutral. In reality, right? It's nothing. It's
right.
It's energy. Just like money is just energy. But we give it all this meaning. We make it really big. And in doing that, I think we give it our power. We give debt the power. And so it's like, here we are. We're shrunken down. We're these tiny little beings. And we're shaking our tiny little fist up at this big muscle-bound thing called debt. But we're the ones that created it to be muscle bound, right? Because we
right.
create significance around it. So I always try to have my clients, you know, release the significance, come into neutral, let go of the meaning of it. There really isn't meaning to debt. It's the meaning that you place on it that gives it the power. So clearing the significance around it. So those are like some of the bigger things. Of course, there's tons more that we could talk about in terms of internal stuff to help us reduce our debt. But those are the things that I kind of are foremost in my mind right now.
And oh, I love it.
Practically, there are a couple things. If we have time, I don't know where we are with time.
Yeah, we've got about 25 minutes.
Okay. So I have just a few tips that I usually only reserve for my clients, but I'm happy to share with you guys.
Please do.
To share with your tribe. because that's no fun. I want people just to be released from this because it's a burden. Okay, so I'm not talking about a budget here, but this idea is just goes back to you can't change what you can't look at. So
mm-hmm.
So look at it. Get it out there. Maybe even get a spreadsheet and know what income is coming in. Know what's coming in. Know what's going out and know what your debt is. Know those percentage rates that they have. Just know it. Okay. Not saying put yourself in a budget because if you're not ready for a budget emotionally, you're going to rebel against it and you're going to start spending.
Right.
But knowing is power, and without putting judgment on it, just knowing, there's some type of energy shift around the knowing. Does that make sense?
Oh, I totally agree. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So the other thing, and you and I were talking about this the other day when we were laughing, but plugging holes in your leaky bucket, right?
Right.
Because we all have leaky buckets when it comes to money. And again, this too, like I don't want to trigger the deprivation for anybody. So that's why I say it's not a budget when you look at yourself. You just have the knowing of it. This is too. I don't want you to feel like, you know, you need to deprive yourself of things. That's going to trigger you the other way. But plugging the holes that you're not going to feel a whole lot. Do you have a gym membership that you're not using and that money's just kind of auto pay on your credit card? Do you have let's see, what else might be, like magazine subscriptions? Even just little small things energetically can be big. When you start valuing your money and plugging those holes, the universe responds to that because you're taking care of yourself.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're honoring your money. And in the end, energetically, that will definitely pay off into the physical paying off of your debt. So another tip to begin with is, and I like this, and I hope it makes sense because it's been super powerful for me, to start an account for yourself. And it's not a typical savings account because you're not saving up for something. You're not saving up for Christmas. You're not saving up for a vacation or something that you really want. This is I call it an honoring of you account.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah, or it could just be a little box that you put your money in. And I always recommend people, and they can, it could be whatever percentage you want, 10%, 5%, 3%, 20%, whatever. But whatever you make, take that percentage, make the commitment to pull that out, put it in that account as an honoring of you. There's something powerfully energetic that goes along with this, just an honoring of you. You're not intending to spend this money. It's just set aside for you. And in doing this, and as you watch this balance grow and grow and grow, you're going to create the having of money. You're going to create the energy of the having of money and the sense that you could if you wanted to. And so does that make sense? There's
I love it. The having of money, that really, right. Because that, if
right.
you're in debt, that's not what you see. And this is a
no.
way, even while you're in debt, you can create
yes.
the having of money. I love it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So that's something that's been really exciting and powerful since I've started doing that. Doing that for a couple of years now. And it's fun to watch it grow and grow. And just know, it's there. I have money. So.
Well, the other thing that speaks to me is knowing that you created that. Like
yeah.
you're saying, the having of money, and you were the one that created that, that's there. It's like, stepping into that empowerment.
Yes. Yeah. It's like that honoring of you. I love that word, that honoring
yes.
of you. Just because you are, you're going to do this for you. So, yeah.
Those are great tips.
Yeah. And then one final last one, and it's just a teeny weeny one. And I say that with full sarcasm. And it's more energetic in nature. But I think if there is one key to kind of everything, not just debt, not just money, but everything, and this might sound like a Hallmark card, but really to move towards self-love, into
yep.
self-love as fully as possible. And if you have to begin with just appreciating how your fingernail looks, or you like your little toe, or you appreciate that your ears can hear, wherever you start, start stepping into self-love. That really is the key. Self-love, self-acceptance. That's a lifetime journey. There's many different
mm-hmm.
levels to achieve there. But when we really are in love with ourselves, there's nothing we won't give ourselves.
Yes, true.
And the world is truly ours. We uncover that unlimited nature of ours. And sky's the limit, right?
Mm-hmm.
So those
I love that, and I like how you say, even if it's just appreciating your fingernail, that might be the way it has to start for many of us. Just
yes.
like I
yes.
call them the pinholes of success, noticing
Ooh.
The little, oh, this is great about me. And instead of this idea, I'm going to shift from the pits of self-despair to absolute self-love, but taking
yeah, no,
the steps.
You can't
yeah.
make that jump.
No, no way.
No.
I haven't, yeah, I don't know. Yep.
Yeah.
But I think that's like flexing that muscle. It's like that muscle in us mm-hmm. is atrophied. So when you do those little steps that you're talking about, you build up that muscle.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love it, Heidi. Great
Yay.
Tips. Great tips. Well, we have some time. Should we do some tapping?
Let's do some tapping. So would you like to be my guinea pig and
absolutely.
We can tap around something that, you know, has been in the past or an example or even a real
I've
life.
I've never in my life had a challenge with death. I said that sarcastically, yes.
So could you share a little bit of your story then, and then we can kind of pull from there?
Yes, probably 5-6 years ago now,
mm-hmm.
My husband and I went through a really hard time financially. We had an amazing nest egg built up, and then just through some investments, literally got to this place. And this was over the course of about a year and a half where we were down to, like, our last $5,000. So all this stuff that had been built up, and not only that, the accumulation of debt during that time,
mm-hmm.
you know, it was just like, whoa. And I remember not being able to sleep through the night for almost a year, and at one
wow.
point, my entire body had broken out in hives. In that moment, and this was pre-EFT for me, over 5 or 6 years ago, I was like, I just had this recollection, I'm killing myself with my thoughts.
Wow, I'm killing myself with my thoughts.
Yeah, because it was starting, I saw it physically showing up in
yeah.
my body, and the fact that I really did not have a, like, sleep through the night for almost a year just because the worry and the fear. And you
mm-hmm.
talk about, and in my mind then, it was
mm-hmm.
all bad. There was
yeah.
not. There was no way I was honoring anything about it. It was
yeah.
everything about it was bad. I had such, you talk about stepping into and owning it.
Yeah, yeah.
It was very bad to me.
Wow. And what, and pre-EFT, so great clarity there.
Yeah, I mean,
people
yeah, it was
EFT.
Like, I was self-aware enough to go, I think I'm killing myself with my thoughts.
Yeah.
Yep.
So that's crazy.
And then, yeah, and now where I'm at is, like, we have totally transformed our lives that way and just seeing the difference in that and really not even having these tools in place that you have. If I'd had these tools in place, had worked with you long ago, I would have saved myself probably half a decade. So just, I would say too, like the fear, the thing that really speaks to me is the fear. The trauma, the terror around
yeah,
debt. Like,
terror.
Oh, I'm never going back there again. I'm not going
mm-hmm.
back there again, not doing it. And that's still
yeah.
resistance.
Yeah. Okay, the terror. I like that. That's so
disturbing. Terror.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
I can, and actually I feel it when I say it. Nope, not going back there. Not doing that again. No way.
Wow. Okay.
Yep.
Not going back there. So that's a vow.
Oh, wow. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
What a great awareness.
Yeah, and so so with that, like if, when we make vows, we kind of lock our possibility. We limit ourselves, and so of course you don't want to go back there, but making that vow just seems to kind of lock something in place. So
I had no idea that was in place till just now.
Interesting. because making that judgment or making that vow, I'm not going to ever go back there, also opens up, means you've made the judgment that it's possible to go back there for you.
Yes. Yep.
So there's a fear in there that perhaps someday, this is a question, is there a fear in there that perhaps someday that could happen again and you're just girding yourself?
There must be. Even though when I'm sitting here, I go, oh, no, there has to be. Because like you said, I don't think I ever quite realized. And it's interesting. My husband has said a couple of things to me about this. And even as of, yesterday and this morning about this, you know, and I'm like, no, that's not it. Nope. I'm not thinking that way. And as we're, it just is so perfect that we're doing the show. It's like, oh yeah, I never put it. I mean, totally a law of attraction person, you know, even what you resist persists. So
yeah.
The pushing away, but never quite put it together. The vow.
Yeah.
Interesting timing. Perfect timing.
Isn't that great?
Yep.
Oh, the universe works in mysterious ways.
Yeah.
All that synchronicity.
Right.
So it does feel like a vow. So I'm never going back there.
I'm going
to go back there.
Yes.
Okay.
Never going back there.
Yeah. And is it the fear that's underlying that? Is that what's...
Yeah, you know, I don't feel it right now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's got to be there.
Yeah.
It's got to be. Like, I think I'm like, oh, no, it's not there. Let's.
Well, right. Why would you let yourself
feel that? O'Hara. I'm not going to think about that today. I'll think about it tomorrow.
Right. And why would you allow yourself to know that that's and feel that? It's not fun. It's not comfortable.
Well,
so,
and what
it's
I
not
think
a present danger, right? So you're not.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Right. And it's interesting because this is something my husband's been speaking to me about like over the past 2 days. And I'm like, oh, whatever. He doesn't know what he's talking about.
Oh, you don't want to make it right now, do you?
Yeah. I get to go out and tell him, yeah, guess what? You were dead on that.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'd love to
All
pass
right.
through this.
All right. So I'm not going back there. So how strong does that feel, that vow, if you had to rate it 0 to 10?
Like, oh, a 10.
Yeah, it's a 10. I would think so. A 10
mm-hmm.
plus because it's a vow.
Yep.
Vows are super beliefs, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So why don't we just kind of tap and just see what comes up.
Sounds good.
Okay?
Yep.
All right. Do you feel it physically in your body anywhere?
I do, actually. In my chest, like I feel this tight ball in my chest.
Okay. All right, good.
But I'm not feeling anything.
No, of course not. That's okay.
Yeah.
You're not feeling emotion. You're just feeling a tight ball. Okay. All right. So karate chop point.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Even though I had that trauma back then. We lost all that money. And we racked up so much debt. And we've recovered. Yeah. We're in a much better place now. Yeah.
I think about those times back then.
And I don't feel too much about it. I don't feel fear. But I refuse to go back to that place.
That's very potent.
I am never going back there. Mm-hmm. And even though I don't feel fear. There is this tight ball in my chest.
And it feels like defiance.
Yeah, rebellion, defiance. Okay.
Yep.
Okay, good. So I choose now to honor my need to protect myself. And that this vow is one way I've been doing it. Okay, does that feel right on?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I like to check in just to be sure.
Yes, I'm glad, yes.
even though I'm standing defiantly here.
Even though I'm standing defiantly here.
Refusing to never go back to that place.
Refusing to never go back to that place.
I refuse to ever experience that level of debt.
I refuse to ever experience that level of debt. This feels so accurate.
Because it was a terror-filled time for me.
Because it was a terror-filled time for me.
Yeah. I refuse to ever go back there.
I refuse to ever go back there because I don't think I'll make it again.
Okay, perfect. Yeah. I got through it once.
I got through it once.
But I don't think I could ever recover a second time.
But I don't think I could ever recover a second time.
Yeah. So I honor this vow I've made.
So I honor this vow I've made.
Yeah. And I'm open to my unlimited possibility.
I am open to my unlimited possibility.
Yeah. And the fact that I truly am safe.
And the fact that I truly am safe.
Okay. Okay. Does that bounce off or is that?
Yeah, no, it's resonating.
Okay, this
weird term, it's actually not a weird term, it's a term that I use about myself, that I'm the money Nazi.
You're the money Nazi. Wow.
Yeah, I'm like, no, we're not doing that. Nope. No.
Like, okay.
I've gone like the other extreme, the other end of the pendulum.
Yeah.
Like feeling so completely out of control, and now I'm going to like have ultimate control.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, good. All right. So we've only tapped twice in the karate chopping, but I think we're there. So let's go to the point.
Yeah.
Yeah. The terror of that time.
The terror of that time.
I wasn't safe back then.
I wasn't safe back then.
I didn't feel safe back then.
I did not feel safe back then.
And I never want to go back there.
And I never want to go back there.
Yeah. I don't feel that old fear anymore.
I don't feel that old fear anymore.
But there's a tightness and a ball in my chest.
But there is a tightness and a ball in my chest, and now it's in my throat.
Okay, good, good. It's moving. When it moves, we know it's not intractable. It's great. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I refuse to go back there.
I refuse to go back there.
I am defiant about going back there.
I am defiant about going back there.
I need to be in control.
I need to be in control.
Because I didn't feel like I was in control back then.
Because I did not feel like I was in control back then.
Yeah. I will never let that happen again.
I will never let that happen again.
I absolutely refuse.
I absolutely refuse.
Mm-hmm. And I need to control my money now.
And I need to control my money now.
I need to be the money Nazi.
I need to be the money Nazi.
So that I can be safe.
So that I can be safe.
Yeah. And for a long time, this vow, I thought, was keeping me safe.
And for a long time, this vow, I thought, was keeping me safe.
But I'm starting to wonder if that's really true.
But I am starting to wonder if that's really true. In fact, I know it's not true.
Yikes. Yeah. Yeah. I'm wondering if I need this vow at all.
I am wondering if I need this vow at all.
Because I see how it locks me up.
I see how it locks me up. No wonder, like, my chest and throat have felt locked up.
Yeah. I see how it limits me financially.
I see how it limits me financially.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And keeps me believing I'm not safe.
And keeps me believing I'm not safe. Wow.
Yeah. So I honor this old vow.
So I honor this old vow.
And I honor my mind for creating this strategy.
And I honor my mind for creating this strategy.
Yeah. But I'm open to perhaps a new supportive belief.
But I am open to a new supportive belief.
Yeah. One in which I am safe.
One in which I am safe.
Yeah. And I don't have to grip in order to be in control.
Oh, I love that. I don't have to grip in order to be in control.
Yeah. I am unlimited possibility.
I am unlimited possibility.
Yeah. And maybe setting myself free is the way to tap into that.
And maybe setting myself free is the way to tap into that.
Yeah. Open to new beliefs.
Open to new beliefs.
Knowing I am safe.
Knowing I am safe.
Mm-hmm. Honoring but releasing this old vow.
Honoring but releasing this old vow.
Okay, so take a breath.
Oh, wow.
Ooh, there's a lot there. We could do so much, but I know we're short on time. So
we've got about 5 minutes left. So you want to just kind of do one or two more rounds? Because
okay,
I want to give
sure.
time for you to talk about what's coming up for you.
Oh.
Or actually, let me stop this because I know the time's going to run out faster than I think. So I want to, I'll share this. Here's what I noticed, Heidi, like
mm-hmm.
that tightness in my chest and my throat, I actually feel it easing up. And I realize this is so interesting. This is what my husband's been trying to tell me. He's like, there's just, like, and you use the word gripping. I was like,
yeah.
Oh, God, that's how mm-hmm. I've been, gripping.
Yeah.
Gripping this and how unproductive that is. And
yeah.
So I will definitely keep tapping through this. And that was so, and I didn't even know it was a
yeah. Yeah, exactly. And two, so that underlying fear that you intellectually know is there, you know, honor that and allow that to rise because you don't want that to be locked in place. Let it come up. Let yourself feel it, but tap through it. Let it go.
Oh, this is huge. So
yeah.
Thank you so much, Heidi. And we've got about 3.5 minutes left. You have a teleseminar coming up, and I also want you to tell people how they can get in touch with you. So.
Yeah, so thank you. If people would like to get in touch with me, my website is tapintoabundancenow.com.
That's awesome.
tapintoabundancenow.com. And if they want to email, you can find it's Heidi@tapintoabundancenow.com. I also have a free offering there that would, you know, we could keep in touch that way. So it's a free gift on money and stress and money panic. So so check that out. And yes, my 6-week teleclass is coming up, and it's called Awaken Your Money Mojo. And
ooh,
what we're going to be covering, debt is one of the pieces of this because it's just not talked about and it needs to be cleared. So that's one of the pieces that we're going to be going over and going through a whole bunch of tapping sequences and energy processes and attunements to help people kind of clear that or at least get them on the road to that. We'll also be taking a look at our finances. So much of what we talked about today is actually going to be part of the program where we take you through that, assessing your money mojo at the moment and your financial situation and being able to look at it and to release the significance around it. Let's see. So that kind of covers class one and class two. Class three is again, it's something we talked about, how we've made money significant. We talked about the how we've made debt significant, but overall we've made money significant. So we'll be working to shifting the power and bringing it back to us in that class. The class four is going to tackle the beliefs and the fears that we have about money, about how family and society has impacted us, and we're going to create some new space and energy and some new beliefs that will support us in our creation of money. Class five is all about enough. It'll probably be more than about enough, but enough about having enough, about not having enough, about being enough, about doing enough, and how that really affects our worthiness and our perception of deserving. And class five is the key. It's all about self-love, and so we're going to really step into that and help you shift into a new level of self-love, accepting yourself so that you can create and give and open a whole new place of receiving, because when you love yourself, you're able to receive. So, the course is about awakening your natural magic and your natural mojo with money, and helping you create a new firm foundation so that you can begin to see real changes in your life.
I love it. That is so awesome, Heidi. And thank you so much for being here. And I can attest to you guys personally, she is amazing and intuitive. And definitely take her up on her free offer and take a look at that teleclass that she's coming up. You will not regret it.
If they get on my list by signing up for the free offer, then you will get information. That's coming up really soon. So I don't have the opt-in page up yet, but it should be up by Monday. So sign
Perfect.
Up quick, and you'll get information on it. So thank you,
Thanks
Marty.
Thanks so much, Heidi. You're the best. Thanks for being here.
You're welcome.
All right, take good care. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye.
If you're ready to finally free yourself from a job you hate, go to MartyMurphy.com and download Career Coach Marty Murphy's powerful free video series, Take the Big Leap, to learn the secrets to free yourself to live your dreams and do the rewarding work you love.